I found myself tuning out his analysis of her character. My eye wandered over to the pile of fat manila folders on Lonnie's desk. I could see the name Voight Barney written across the spine. Two cardboard boxes stacked against the wall contained additional files, judging by the labels affixed to one side. Everything Voight was saying was going to be right there, a compilation of facts without all the editorials attached. "How'd the guy get off?" I asked as soon as he paused for breath. Lonnie jumped in, apparently impatient to get down to the meat of the matter. "Dink Jordan prosecuted. What a yawn that was. I mean, the man is competent, but he's got no style. He thought he could win on the merits of the case." Lonnie snorted at the absurdity of the assumption. "So now we're suing the shit out of David Barney for wrongful death. I hate the guy. The minute he pled not guilty, I told Ken we should jump on the son of a bitch with hobnail boots. I couldn't talk him into it. We filed and got him served, but then Ken insisted we sit on it." Voight frowned uncomfortably. "You were right, Lon. I see it now, but you know how it is. My wife, Francesca, was opposed to our reopening the investigation. It's painful for everyone, me more than most. I simply couldn't handle it." Lonnie crossed his eyes. He didn't have a lot of sympathy for what people could or couldn't handle.
"Hey, okay, skip that. It's water under the bridge. It took a year and a half to get him tried and acquitted on the criminal charges. For a year after that, Ken here watches David Barney work his way through Isabel's money. And believe me, there's plenty of it, most of which would have been split between him and the other heirs, if Barney'd been convicted. Finally, the family reaches a point where they can't stand it anymore, so Ken comes back to me and gets into gear. Meanwhile, Barney's attorney, a guy named Foss, files a discretionary motion to dismiss for lack of prosecution. I whip into court and tap dance my tiny heart out. The motion was denied, but the judge made it clear he wasn't happy with me."
"You mentioned other heirs. Who were you referring to?" I asked.
"Her daughter, Shelby, Isabel's sister, Simone, who lives on the property, and Kenneth here, who inherited in the previous will. Now, of course, David Barney and this jerk who represents him are using every delay they can think of, and then some. Oh, and here, check this. Ken here, as a guy shows up, turns out he shared a cell with David Barney the day he was arrested. This guy's been following the case. He sits in on the trial just to see what's going on, and he's telling us Barney as good as admitted he killed Isabel as he's walking out the courtroom door. Morley was in the process of tracking him down."
What good's it gonna do?" I asked. "David Barney can't be tried again on the murder one."
"We kicked it over to the civil side, but Barney's dragging his feet. We file a motion, he's got 30 days to answer, so his attorney, what a geek, waits until day 29 and then files a demurrer. Anything to string it out."
"Lonnie," I said, "just tell me what you need and I'll go out and get it for you." Lonnie laughed and tossed his pencil at me.
This is why I like her. No bullshit," he said to Voight.
He reached over and pushed the stack of files in my direction.
"This is everything we got, though it's a bit disorganized. There's an inventory on top. Just make sure it's all in there somewhere before you start work. Once you're familiar with the basics, we can figure out where the gaps are."
"What about instructions?"
"You can do anything you want, as long as you keep your nose clean," Lonnie amended in haste. "Barney's attorney would love nothing better than to catch us with our pants down, so no dirty tricks."
"That's no fun," I said.